well. And Pastor Micah Clemmy from Melbourne will be leading us in those first two, and then I believe somebody from Gifford on the third one. So we will not have four, we will just have the first three there, and one before Christmas we will not have. And our new website is live. It is now under a new domain name, so to find us, it's stjohnschwer.org, O-R-G. And so we should be live streaming today, right? Like right now, I did a test on it last night and it worked. I had Pastor George help me when he got here Friday, and it didn't work. But we didn't do anything wrong because I came back yesterday and it worked for a little bit. So I was excited, but it may not be working now. I could be just talking to nobody except everybody that's here. I think that's all I have. Facebook may not be live. No. So we've hurt the Facebook people, but we're hoping that people will stream us live on the website, because that's what it's really designed for. So to make things simpler, get on there and check that website out. It seems to be a little easier to maneuver through to find things. The sermons will be up there automatically, really. I don't have to upload those. They'll be right on there, so hopefully they'll be on there. All right, let's worship. Pastor George?
Be able to be in fellowship and have a time together with our Lord and Savior, and a time to worship and give thanks. As we do think of Thanksgiving this week, it's good for us, even as we see the things around us in our world, that we constantly give praise, constantly give thanks, because God ultimately is good, right? Amen? And so to have a heart of thankfulness and that positiveness of what God is doing, even in the midst of so many things, is just a way to keep our minds and our hearts set on the prize ahead, which is Christ and that eternal life that he's offering for all of us. So we just give thanks for much and give thanks for the congregation as you guys are continuing to work through a new season of time, and just give thanks to God that he is good, he is a provider, and he is sovereign in all ways and will guide you guys. And so let us go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we thank you for your greatness. And Lord, we thank you that you are the great I am. And that, Lord, we pray now that you would be here and be present with us, that you would continually open our hearts and minds to see how you work in our lives, that we may give thanks to you. We thank you now this day that you have, by your Holy Spirit, are with us, encouraging us, and that we can look to you and to your word this day for encouragement and for that great promises that you have given to us. So, Lord, we give you thanks. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Our call to worship today, I have chosen from Psalm 105, verses 1 through 3. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him, sing praise to him, speak of all his wonders. Glory in his holy name, and let the hearts of those who seek the Lord be glad. Amen. Amen. At this time, we will continue on with our two praise and worship songs, Hosanna and God is so good.
The intention was Froggy and I were going to sing this morning, but on Friday his voice gave out, so I'm here by myself. So I encourage you all to sing as loud as you can. And we just pray for the healing. There's a lot of sickness going through our community, so we just pray for all of those who are sick to be healed and then join us again. Let's stand and we'll sing our two praise songs.
Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna, Hosanna.
Psalm 100 says, a psalm of giving and grateful praise. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. God is so good.
Join with me in the confession of sins at this time. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess to you that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. Therefore, we flee for refuge to your infinite mercy and ask you for Christ's sake, grant us forgiveness of all our sins, and by your Holy Spirit, increase in us true knowledge of you, and your will, and true obedience to your word, to the end that by your grace we may come to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. As a called and ordained pastor, it is my privilege and joy and honor to proclaim to you that Christ, through God, has forgiven you all of your sins. He has paid that sin debt in full by his shed blood on the cross. Amen? Amen. Amen. This time we'll have our scripture reading, and you may be seated.
The Old Testament lesson is from Malachi 3, verses 13 through 18. Your words have been hard against me, says the Lord, but you say, how have we spoken against you? You have said, it is vain to serve God. What is the profit of keeping his charge or of walking as in mourning before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the arrogant blessed before the Lord of hosts. Evildoers not only prosper, but they put God to the test and they escape. Then those who feared the Lord spoke with one another. The Lord paid attention and heard them. And the book of remembrance was written before him. Of those who feared the Lord and esteemed his name, they shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, in the day when I make up my treasured possession, and I will spare them as a man spares his son who serves him. Then once more you shall see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not serve him. The epistle lesson is from Colossians 1, verses 13 through 20, and is also the sermon text this morning. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything the might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross.
This time may stand for the gospel reading. It is from Luke chapter 23, verses 27 through 43. Reading in Jesus' holy name. And there followed him a great multitude of people and of women who were mourning and lamenting for him. But turning to them, Jesus said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming when you will say, 'Blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bore, and the breasts that never nursed.' Then they will begin to say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if they do these things, when the wood is green, what will happen when it is dry? Two others who were criminals were led away to be put to death with him. And when they came to the place that is called the Skull, they were where they crucified him, and the criminals, one on the right and one on the left. And Jesus said, 'Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.' And they cast lots to divide his garments. And the people stood by watching, but the rulers scoffed at him, saying, 'He saved others, let him save himself. If he is the Christ of God, his chosen one.' The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine, and saying, 'If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself.' And there was an inscription over him, 'This is the King of the Jews.' One of the criminals who were hanging railed at him, saying, 'Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us.' But the other rebuked him, saying, 'Do not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation. And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong.' And he said, 'Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom.' And he said to him, 'Truly I say to you today, you will be with me in paradise.'" Here ends the gospel reading for today. And as the church, may we come together and confess our holy faith on page 4, the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead and ascended into heaven, and is seated on the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from where he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the holy Christian church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, and the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Maybe seated, right? Yes.
eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. See the high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power.
I pray that that's the prayer that we all have every day, is to be holy and to see God and to see Him moving. Amen. As Corey had mentioned, the text for my sermon today comes from our epistle lesson. I'm going to back up one verse and read just that one verse as I begin here. At verse 12. Well, I'll go back to 11. May you be strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Father God, we pray now that you would just bless the time that we have, that you would anoint our hearts and our minds to hear from you and from you alone, Lord. May all that I have prepared and say at this time be glorifying to you above all things, in the name above all names, Jesus Christ. Amen. See, Paul was writing to the church of Colossae at this time, and he was addressing a specific heresy that had come to creep into the church. We could even say it was starting to infiltrate into the church life and theology. Paul wrote this letter while he was even in prison in Rome sometime around 62 to 63 A.D., and we see that there's been false teachings that have tried to infiltrate the church even so long ago. This heresy is called Gnosticism, which is a belief that Jesus Christ Himself never took on flesh. They also rejected the simple parts of Scripture that tells us that He is God incarnate. They would deny His deity. And they also would claim a special hidden knowledge that not all Christians could access. And sadly, I would say that some believe that still today. It is crazy to me to believe that or to understand that with all the evidence we have. But like those Paul was addressing, many believe that Jesus was not the Son of the Father, not the Son of God, but rather he was just a natural man, a good moral man, maybe a phenomenal teacher, a good teacher. That's all they would believe of him. So the question is who is Jesus, right? And by what authority does he come and speak and act the way he is acting and the miracles he is doing? See, that was what the people then were trying to figure out in those days. The question I have before you and before all today is this: who is Jesus to you? If we're honest about Jesus, he is the most polarizing person, the most polarizing man to ever walk this earth. Simply enough, just the mention of his name, Jesus, invokes praise and worship to some. To others, it invokes anger and hatred even, right? And yeah, I know, we all know some that would claim to be indifferent about this man, Jesus. But the truth is if you do look at their lives, the truth shows what they truly believe and think about Jesus. They're not so indifferent. And when Jesus calmed the seas with the disciples, they questioned him. What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? These guys, you know, from the word says that they had been with him for some time at this point. They had witnessed with their own eyes. They had touched him with their own hands. And yet they still questioned. Who is Jesus? So was he just this good moral teacher, as some would claim? The question is truly to the whole church. But its focus, if we're honest, is really about what do you and who do you personally think Jesus is? See, many believe that Jesus is this artist's rendition of a man hanging on a wall, a Caucasian man with long flowing hair. Don't think so. See, he was Hebrew. Some think Jesus nowadays is all love and flowers and goodness. Grace, 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 we hear. Not quite. It's not really what the scriptures say about him, is it? The title of the message is Qualified, Made Fit for an Inheritance. And to understand what and who qualifies you for such a great inheritance, the question really must be answered for us. Who is Jesus? What gives this man the power, the authority of all creation to pronounce such judgment and to offer such a divine gift? So I want to give the best picture I can of who Jesus is, right? I want to give you that from Scripture. But I'm asking you to hold on and get ready for this, right? John 1, the Word. John 1, 14, Word became flesh. Mark 8, 27, Peter says Jesus is the Christ, meaning the Anointed One. Revelations 1, 8, Almighty One. Revelations 22, 13, Alpha and Omega. John 1, 2, 1, Advocate, Son of God. 1 Thessalonians 1, 10, Deliverer. Revelations 19, 11, faithful and true. Hebrews 4, 14, the great high priest. Ephesians 1, 22, head of the church. John 5, 58, I am. Acts 10, 42, judge. Isaiah 60, 16, mighty one. 1 Timothy 1, 1, our hope. Luke 1, 37, son of the most high. John 8, 32, truth. And Revelations 3, 21, victorious one. Whew. Right? But understand, that's just a few of the scriptures that point us to who Jesus is. Amen? So what does that mean for you and I? What does it mean for us today? Why is it important to know who Jesus really is? And I tell you, it's simple, yet profoundly hard for people to grasp and to understand. Is that the reality of knowing who Jesus is has eternal consequences for all of us. Maybe many believe that there are options, right? We hear that a lot today. Many ways to get to heaven. And Jesus tells us simply, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father in heaven but through me. Our epistle text today is a wonderful piece of scripture, I tell you. And we see right away when I started to read that verse 12, Paul proclaiming Jesus as Redeemer, Jesus as this great deliverer, the one with all authority. Verse 12, give thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in this inheritance of the saints in light. Qualified you. Rescued you. And please, I want you to note something here. And if you got your Bibles out, underline it. Maybe circle it. And that is the word has. Nice, simple little word, has. It doesn't say he will do or he's going to do this. It tells us that he has done it. You are no longer a slave to sin. You are no longer in the devil's grips. God himself through Jesus Christ, again, has transferred you, you a sinner, to a saint in the light. Amen? That's a powerful verse, isn't it? It has a lot to say to us. And yet we understand sin disqualifies you. And we see here God is the one who qualifies through Christ's redemptive work. The inheritance spoken of here, if we're honest, or if we look at it and connect it, it is linked to this inheritance that God himself allotted to the promised land for the families of Israel. Not based on their righteousness did he promise them this land, but God also to us and to the world promised a Savior would come. And he did, in the form of Jesus Christ. The Lord reigns now in a mighty way in love among all who call upon his name, repent and believe and are baptized. Malachi, our Old Testament, in 3:17, they shall be mine. And he says, and I will spare them as a man spares his son who serves him. See, Jesus laying down his life through the crucifixion for sinful men and women does something amazing. It anchors us in a new life that is proclaiming that Christ is the Son of God. But understand, God is just in all manners of ways of life and in this life. And his justice is clear when we look at his Son, Jesus Christ, and what he did for each of us. Sin doesn't go unpunished. Defining the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, Malachi 3:18 tells us. And verse 13, again, comes to that small word, he has delivered us from the dominion of darkness. He has transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption and forgiveness of sins. Because Jesus is who he is and has done the complete will of the Father in heaven, the Father himself now pardons you and me from the darkness domain. It is only in Jesus Christ, the beloved Son of God, that we find such redemption, such rest, such forgiveness of our sinful flesh. In the ESV, which is the version that I use of the Bible, it has a small title as you move from verses 14 to 15, and it says, the preeminence of Christ. And I often wondered why this little title, but then you start to read in verse 15, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible, invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He truly is, as it was marked above his cross, we saw in Luke 23:38, the King of the Jews. Jesus governs his church with all authority. In heaven and on earth, he governs with all authority. He comes into his kingdom by way of the brutal cross, the crucifixion. And yet he graciously, in that sacrifice, remembers you and I in paradise. And as the King of Kings, Jesus is the head of the church. It says he is the firstborn of all creation. And he is the head of the body, verse 18, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything might be preeminent. Preeminence is not a word commonly used in our day-to-day language, right? But here's what preeminence means. Superiority, supremacy, greatness, excellence, distinction, and prominence. I kind of thought about it then. That is a great title as we transferred from 14 to 15, speaking of Jesus. Jesus, to the believer, is head of our lives. He is head of the church. Jesus is the supreme master of all things, Scripture has told us. The head is absolutely essential to the life of a believer. Would you agree? Amen? What happens to a body that loses its head? What happens if someone, for some reason, their head, while still connected, becomes brain dead? The body either dies or it begins to not function properly, being paralyzed, right? See, as a kid, I loved diving into ponds or going to pools. But I was always warned over and over and over again, do not jump head first. I don't know if you had that same warning or not. Because why? Because you might break your neck and become paralyzed. I believe many Christians who do not have Jesus Christ as the head of their lives are paralyzed in their walk and in their life and in their day-to-day living. No one would dive into an empty pool head first, amen? Just like no Christian should face life without Jesus as head of all things. See, this concept of Christ as head, at first glance, may be simple, yet because Scripture even tells us so. And yet how many so-called Christians, how many pastors even, over the years, have changed their conviction on Jesus Christ, their conviction on the Word of God because of their feelings, because of the world philosophy has changed, because of political agendas we see before us, or because their child or a family member is now living in an unbiblical lifestyle. See, the word is unchanging, friends. Even if it is hard for you and I, many Christians stand firm saying, I stand on Jesus in the word until something happens to them personally. And then they say, well, Jesus, God's word, but maybe not. But we got to understand, there are no buts. There are no exceptions to God's word in Jesus Christ. It is what it is. And the word testifies to us that it is truth. Jesus, the word, and the creator of all the universe. See, he's the guy who made the rules, whether I like it or not. And quite honestly, that's a good thing. That's a darn good thing, a great thing. Because of our sinful flesh. His ways are always higher than our ways. He is thinking and his plans are better than mine or yours will ever be. Verse 19, for in him it says, the fullness of God was well pleased. And through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of the cross. Jesus as the head of the church and to all the elect, his word reigns superior over all things, not only here on earth, but it tells us in heaven. And again, I'll repeat it, the head is absolutely essential to the life of the body. The head of the church to function properly
is essential to be Jesus Christ. The head is essential in all normal people to function well. Well, I'll have to say, maybe there's a few years in those teen years, science says that the head disconnects from reality of things. Maybe we'll agree on that. But either way, the truth of the matter is the church is the body of Jesus Christ. Amen. And we must follow that head, because that head gives so much to the body. The head gives us direction in storms. The Bible says in Ephesians 5:1, therefore be followers of God, dear children. The head decides where the body goes. Listen, wouldn't it be much easier in life and simpler if we would just simply obey Jesus? But yet, I also encourage you, don't make excuses for standing for what is right when it comes to Jesus and His Word. Never make excuses for following God Almighty. Never, never do that. The head sets the gospel plan, that salvational plan, into action. The head guides the body in a forward direction. And Jesus establishes the goals of the church. He establishes the priorities of the church. And Jesus establishes, simply enough, our usefulness for the kingdom's work here and now. We know the verses that are in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, I hope, where it says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast, prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. But most people seem to neglect verse 10, which follows that, where it says, we are His workmanship. We are created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God Himself hath prepared and ordained that we should walk in them daily, weekly, monthly. The head establishes the existence as individuals. It establishes us as a church together as a bunch of individuals. What's my purpose here? What's the purpose of the church as you transition may be a question you ask. And simply enough, I encourage you that it is to glorify God through gospel living. It is to proclaim the gospel good news, the message of salvation to sinners, to make disciples and bring people to Jesus. This is the promise that God has given you and I. He has promised you eternal life. And this life is in, simply enough, His Son, the head of all the body. And as the body, we who follow Christ owe to the head a total submission. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, know your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is you, which you have God, of God, and you are not your own. I read that and at first I'm like, oh my goodness, I'm not my own? I'm not mine? And yet then I continue on and it says, you were bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit. Friends, God is just in all matters. He judges the wicked, we heard from Malachi, to those who deny Him as head, as the Son of God, those who do not obey Him, Romans 1:18 and 19, God's wrath is being revealed from heaven against all the ungodly behavior, the injustice of human beings who are silencing the truth with injustice. This is because it is known about God. It is known about God should be plain to them because God made it plain to them. They know it. They just go against it. Ephesians 5:6, let no man deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience. Revelations 14, 15, and 16, as I know your Bible study studying, also testifies to God's wrath. The devil's mission simply is to deceive us, to lead those away from the light of Jesus Christ. And yet the goal of the gospel is to open that life gate to all of this great inheritance that Jesus Christ offers in his sacrifice on the cross at Calvary, whereby he reconciles us to God, whereby we do not face God's wrath. John 14:6 wonderfully says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I simply say, believe it. Hold dear to that. Jesus on the cross, we find in verses 22 and 23 of our text today, he is now reconciling in his body of flesh by his death in order to present you holy, blameless, and above reproach before him, if indeed you continue in the faith. Stable, steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you have heard, which has been proclaimed in all of creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister. See, in closing, ask yourselves, and I say especially to those who are listening from live stream, what did you do if you claimed to be a believer? Do you understand what it is that you were freed from, that you were rescued from? For those of you who have never heard a message about wrath of God, maybe the things you've heard today, you're saying, God's wrath, well, you know, that's that fire and brimstone approach. Don't really apply. But the truth is, I quoted enough scripture to back it up, and scripture is God speaking, not me. So please understand, if God is speaking throughout the Bible still tells me this, this glorious truth, that God's will is that not one would perish, but all would come to a repentant faith. So the question is simply for you, friends, and for those of you listening live stream, do you care? Do you care? See, if you've never made that confession, if it's been something you've thought about but haven't done it, maybe you feel that pricking of your heart. Maybe you're feeling that tapping on your shoulder of the Holy Spirit. Here's what I would tell you. I would tell you this, my friend. Answer the call. Answer the call of Jesus Christ today. Let God put to rest once and for all that record of sin. Let him impute his righteousness to you, which is what happened there on Calvary, on the cross. See, your sins were being imputed to Jesus. What an exchange, right? What a powerful exchange. And how could you say no to such a deal, right? Your wretchedness, your ungodliness, your sin, your stained life that is broken in so many ways, Jesus himself says, I'll take it. I'll take all of it. And you can have my perfect life, he says. You can have all that I have done on the cross for you. Not only do you get that, friend, not only will you be righteous before God, but you will be justified just as if I had never sinned. Clean, cleansed white, holy. Amen? The Lord said, be ye holy as I am holy. How is that possible, maybe? Only through this imputation of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. By faith alone. By word alone. There is no list that I can give you, friends, to say do this or to do that. But I can certainly tell you and testify to you here and now, this is what you need to believe. Repent and believe that gospel message. It's that simple. The gospel message, oh, to some, may be bad news because mankind will flee in its unforgiven state. Mankind runs from the light of Jesus Christ to a light of darkness, we hear. But God himself has made a way through Jesus Christ by the way of the cross of Calvary, through the blood he shed, through the life he lived. You and I don't have to worry no more. So if you simply heed the call, you are qualified. You are bought with a price. You are made fit for this gift of this great inheritance that Jesus offers you. A great inheritance to be with the Father and the Son in eternal glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Father, may now the peace that surpasses all understanding guard our hearts and our minds in your precious Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Above all, and then to our offering, right? Yes.
Psalm 46:8 says, "Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolation on the earth. He makes war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariot with fire. But be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress."
Rejected and alone, like a rose, trampled on the ground, you took the path.
Psalm 66 says, "Shout to the joy, shout for joy to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name. Give to him glorious praise. Say to God, how awesome you are. How awesome are your deeds. So great is your power that your enemies come cringing to you. All the earth worships you and sings praise to you. They sing praises to your name."
Great a gift that you give to us, breath, life, and all things. Father, now we ask that you would receive back a portion of these gifts to be used and multiplied for your kingdom's work here and now till your glorious day you come again. Amen. I guess I'm just going to have to ask, do I read this next part in the bulletin? Give thanks with grateful hearts, or do we sing that? Okay, that's what I thought. I'll just stay up here.
he's given, Jesus Christ, his Son. And now, heart, give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because he's given, Jesus Christ, his Son. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich, because of what the Lord has done for us. Now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich, because of what the Lord has done for us. Give thanks. Give thanks to the Holy. Give thanks because he's given, Jesus Christ, his Son. With a grateful heart, give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because he's given, Jesus Christ, his Son. Let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich, because of what the Lord has done for us. Let the weak say, I am strong. The poor say, I am rich, because of what the Lord has done for us. Give thanks.
You may be seated. We're thankful for God's grace in the house of the Lord. Amen. Amen. May we go to the Lord in prayer. And I just wanted to give a thank you from myself and from my wife, Leslie, for all the prayers that you had, as my wife spent about a month in the hospital and two surgeries, and she's doing well. So God is good, and I just want to give you a praise, but also a thanks that you guys have prayed for us and for her specifically. So may we go to the Lord in prayer now. Father God, we just come to you now. That, Lord, we know that you are a great and gracious God, and that you hear our prayers and our petitions as we call out, and we lift them up to you. So today we pray for the shut-ins, Juanita and Joan, those that are in need of healing, Gordon, Marcia, Rick, Logan, Linda, Bob, Tim, Randy, Norm, Wendell, Danielle, Dennis, Robert, Pastor Mel, Diane, Randy, Gunner, Casey, Michael, Ty, Blake, Delbert, and we continue to just give praise for Leslie there. The cradle roll, Willa, Lane, Kennedy, Elena, Madeline, and Joy. Lord, we do lift up the church to you. We lift up that you would give your light, you would shine upon your direction as head of the church, to the church council constantly, guarding them and giving them godly wisdom to know your will in all things. We pray for Tracy, Robert, Craig, Corey, and Steve. And Lord, this great task and even just this blessing that the call committee has to be chairing this committee, to look forward to preparing and praying about the next pastor that we know and trust that, Lord, you already know, that you're already in the will and the preparing of that man. So we pray for Warren, Nita, Amy, Cole, Carol, and Stuart at this time. Lord, we pray for our nation. Lord, as there's much that we can just say, Lord, in your mercy. We pray for our military men and women. We pray for our local police officers and the local first responders that, Lord, you would bless them. You would protect them, that you would continue to encourage them as they face sin in our world and in our community firsthand. We pray for our government and its direction that, Lord, they would come to repentance, come to being on their knees before you and govern us in a godly way. So, Lord, we pray for world leaders and those in authority throughout our world. And we pray again for all of the families of those military men and women who are separated for so long. Lord, we just pray for the AFLC. We pray for the church that, Lord, your will would be done, that you would guide and lead in all manners and all ways, that you would encourage us each day, that you would strengthen our faith step by step, minute by minute, and even hour by hour. And so, Lord, we come to you giving you great thanks and praise that, Lord, you do hear. You do understand our affliction. You do understand, and you are the great I am, the great healer of all things. So we lift that to you in your precious Son, our Savior's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. May you join with me at this time in praying that wonderful prayer that our Lord and Savior has given us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. May you stand and receive the benediction for today. From Jude. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God and Savior through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and all authority before all times, now and forevermore. Amen. And our closing song today is You Are My All in All.
Strength when I am weak, you are the treasure that I
week.